Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio!
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 This is the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and babies, Jesus! Help us!
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick Radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
It's Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope on this cowboy, guys.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that doctor, homie. Fuck that. Black D. Oh.
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J-Cat Morris.
You are now listening to
Yakuza Kick Radio.
It is Wednesday, October 16th, 2013. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J-Cat Morris. I got a lot of stuff to talk about tonight. Shot out of a cannon today. Let me see, just some of the topics I'll be hitting. Definitely going to review the CZW Cerebral event, talk about last week's NFL and the coming week of NFL to come. A bunch of other little topics that I'm going to throw in there as well. But I think definitely have to start off with, you know, the thing that's fresh on my mind and coming off of this continuous beating everybody in the head with tough mutter this, tough mutter that, it's coming. Well, Saturday I finally went and did, the tough mutter. So I think I'm going to lead off with that, talk about all of it, how it went. So, all right. As you know, I had explained to people the previous week, previous Saturday, I had twisted my fucking back up. So I was like rehabbing my back constantly, just leading up to it, which was not the way you want to go into a home stretch for a race. Even like the day before, going to the chiropractor for one last time, adjustment, whatever, go in there. And gotta tell you, Friday night, getting the adjustment or whatever, still felt like, just not horrible, but still had that little bit of, a tweaked feeling that I was like, oh, man, this could go really fucking bad. 12 miles, 25-plus obstacles, climbing, jumping, crawling, the whole shit. This could go pretty bad pretty quick. I mean, I just got to make the wrong move or something like that, and whatever. So I'm like, whatever. No holdbacks, no nothing like that. But, just back in my mind, I'm like, let's see how this goes. So, go in on Saturday. I'll just preface with this. I had zero back problems, zero. That shit was perfectly fine on my back. and then, you know, because, you know, I guess I just worked out of it just in time, you know what I mean, just got out of it, and, you know, adrenaline and all that helps too, but it's not like the next day my back was banged up, and, you know, I felt that, so, you know, feeling good. So I guess I'll go into how to start the thing. You know, you go in, I started at 120. You go get your, you know, registration, you get your bib number, all that shit. Pin that on and everything. I just, you know, Spider-Man get up and shit. You go over, and where they want you to start, you walk over, and they got, like, a little wall. I want to say, you know, maybe 7-foot wall, 6-foot wall, something like that. Just, you know, little wall. And they just want you to hop over that to even get to the point before to start. You know what I mean? I guess, like, maybe it's a little bit of a test. So if someone ain't ready for it at all and they're just like, yo, fuck this wall, they can walk over and be like, listen, you ain't, you know, there's a lot worse than this shit. So, you know, I guess that's kind of the reason, or maybe just to, whatever the case is. So that's what they did. And then you all huddle up, and then, you know, not even huddle, but, like, you got a lot of people in this little space over there. And the guy, he's going to do the speech before the race and shit. He's, you know, telling you, you know, you trained up to this, da-da-da-da. And he just starts cutting, like, a face promo, you know? Like, the dude, you know, cheap pops and shit. This is what he does. You know, he goes into the whole thing. You know, we've been doing this Tough Mudder thing. We go all over the country. We go all over the world. We go to Canada. You go up there, you got one of the best Tough Mudders out there. That is, you know, one of those things that you go up to Canada and you know you got to bring your A game. They bring it out there. And then we go down, we go to Cali, and out there they got some of the toughest mudders out there, this and that. And like, he goes over a couple locations and he goes, but it all leads back to the home of Tough Mudder. The baddest place, the place you want to go to represent, all eyes are on Jersey. It's like, oh, you motherfucker. And you just hear him, like, building, you know, like, he's going to drive it right back, like, this is the best place you could do it, though. It's just like, come on, man, we already paid for this shit, you don't have to kiss my ass. So, I was just like, this dude's getting cheap heat over here. It's a fucking guy. So he's doing this thing, and then, like, he has everybody take a knee, and he's like, you know, all the, you know, armed forces people stand up, you know, everybody's giving him a hand and shit, and then all the law enforcement stand up, and this dude starts, you know, food service and shit, you stand up, hey, fucking, this dude eventually gets everybody to fucking stand up, just keeps calling people out until eventually it applies to fucking everybody, and I think I had to wait for him to go parents, and then I stood the fuck up or something. So this and this, and I'm just ready. I'm just fucking hyped, yo. He finally says go. Boom. Out of the gates. You know, you run for a little while and shit before you probably run a good mile before you even hit anything, like any obstacles, anything. And, you know, the thing is like, you know, to me, I expected that. I mean, you get people that are, like, right out of the gate, like, oh, where's the mud? It's like, dude, this shit is 12 miles. So, like, chill the fuck out. So, you get going and stuff. And, like, the first thing you even come up on, which isn't, like, a huge obstacle, but it's, like, your first thing other than just running, is they got, like, these big concrete, like, cylinders. And there's, like a shorter one on the left, a shorter one on the right, and then, like, one that's, like, twice as big in the middle. And you just more or less got to, like, you know, kind of hurdle or, like, climb over these things and shit. So pick up a little bit of speed, and, you know, if I'm going for the middle one and shit. I'm going for the higher one, you know, so I do that, and I hit it, and I didn't hit it with enough speed. You know, I wasn't, I guess, up to par yet. There was two rows of them. Like, there was one, and then you ran a little bit, and then there was another set of them, same setup. So I hit the first one and shit, and then I tried to, like, just jump up and, like, climb myself up, but there's no ledges, you know, like, it's a big cylinder, like a sideways tube, but, you know, concrete. So I couldn't get myself up, and I was like, ah, fucking, I just laughed and shit, and just went over to the smaller one on the side, hopped over that, and then I was like, oh, I'm getting the fucking second one. Picked up speed, almost, like, I landed, like, on top of that shit. That's how, like, how fast I hit it. So I was like, you know, I had to get my shit ready. I had to, you know, go in and like, all right, yeah, I got this. And then, no, I didn't yet. I had to just amp my shit up a little bit more. So, boom, hit that, you know, run for a while more. I'm not going to go through every obstacle, just, you know, hit a few things, you know, as far as the start. And then, you know, hit up some other key points for y'all. There's like this thing they call a razor wall. I think that was like the next obstacle I want to say. It's like, I don't really know how to describe this. It's like, you know, like a ramp goes. It's like the ramp's coming at you. So you got to, like, jump and grab that edge and then pull yourself up. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's nothing to kick off of or anything like that. So you more or less got to do a pull-up on that and then, you know, go down the side that's more, like, ramp. There's those things. And then you pretty much break off into the woods there. And, you know, some curvy trails, some dip downs where, like, it dips down pretty low, and then you got to climb up, like, these muddy hills. And, you know, the footing is where it is. Like, parts of stuff like that is just part of the woods. Like, it's not even – I don't even think really they built or did anything, because it's just what the landscape is. They kind of just cut, you know, their own trail where it goes down into the woods, and now you got this big-ass dip with, like, you know, a little bit of water down the bottom and just a real muddy, slippery hill and shit, so you got to get up there. And some people, you know, there's a lot of camaraderie where, like, dudes are up the top, you know, you get to the top, and then, like, anyone needs help, you know, you help pull them up and shit like that. So there's some of that stuff going. So I'm getting through some of that stuff, running trail, whatever. And now a bunch of different things I worried about going into this race and stuff, like the claustrophobic stuff. I wasn't so sure how I was going to do with that because I'm not a huge fan of it. But, you know, and I'll hit that stuff up later in a minute. But one of the things that I do not like whatsoever and is not even part of their design was not something they planned at all. It just happened to just random circumstance got thrown into my path. A fucking snake lunged at me. All right, so I can't stand fucking snakes. Like, the only animal that I do not fucking like at all. No leg, arm having motherfuckers. Like, so I'm running this trail and this motherfucker just comes, like, slithering across this fucking trail, and I'm going a little too fast to stop. If I tried to stop, I probably would end up on top of the fucking snake, because he's moving, like, more or less gonna cut me off. So I did, like, a little bit of, like, a loop around, like, you know, I turned a little wide around so I'd go in front of where he was going, but, like, around and shit. Like, I guess I was a little too close, and motherfucker lunged at me. So, you know, I ran a couple feet more and, you know, turned around to tell the people behind me, "Yo, watch the snake." And, like, by then, like, he's heading into the woods, that are like, "Oh, snake." And, like, you know, he was gone. So that shit was just, like, my problem. That was, like, nobody else's deal but me and shit. I fucking hate snakes. So I was like, "Ain't this a motherfucker, man? Conquer your fears, this and that." And then random fucking snake just comes out of there. Like, that's some old bullshit. So, I thought that was kind of funny, because it was something that was clearly not planned by any fucking buddy, and it couldn't have happened more perfect to be fucking with me. All right, so the claustrophobic things I was worried about, they have kind of like a chain link fence. Well, it is a chain link fence, and it's over the top of muddy water, and it's like there's like 6 inches between the cage and the water. So what you're supposed to do is you go under this shit and crawl on the cage on the bottom and only have like 6 inches for your face to come out to breathe. So going in, like, this was one of the things in my head, like, man, that shit don't sound good at all to me. Like, you see pictures too and you're like, oh, fuck that. I showed a lot of people and they were like, oh, you ain't catching me under that fucking cage. And I understand, because I was just like, ah, you know what I mean? Like, the water splashes a little, you and me fucking ass out, and there's a cage there. What are you going to do? So I'm just, you know, when it comes to me doing the shit and getting there, it's on, man. I ain't fucking ducking shit, nothing. I just, whatever worries I got in my mind are just worries in my mind, but I'm going into this shit. So I go there, I duck down, I go on the thing, and it's one of the easiest fucking things I could possibly imagine. Easiest thing in the world, because little do you realize, well, you're floating. So you're floating on your back, and you're just, like, pedaling yourself with your hands on this cage and just drifting. I could have did, like, a mile like that, because there's no worries at all. I mean, there's no worry about sinking. You're floating, and you're holding the cage and just gliding yourself along. That shit was easy as hell. So I was like, oh, wow, mind at ease with that one. That's easy as hell. So I was like, cool. Then there's the other thing I was worried about, because, you know, I mean, I'm pretty strong for my weight and stuff like that. I only weigh $150, $160. So one of the things is like, yeah, you're going to have to carry somebody and shit. I'm like, carry somebody? Fuck, man. Like, I throw a couple bags of litter on my back at work, no problem. You know, 100 pounds, maybe even like 120 pounds. But, you know, you don't expect to have a 120-pound dude standing there waiting for you to carry him and shit. So I'm like, you know, I guess we'll see how this goes. So I end up being, go up there, and it's like, yeah, this dude's like, yeah, I need a partner. So dude weighed like 200, and now jump on his back, no fucking problem. Carries me, I think it's like 100 feet or some shit like that. And then you switch. So we switch, he hops on my back like a piggyback ride, no problem. Surprisingly, he was able to, you know, walk that 100 feet with him without an issue. I was like, oh, shit. So I was happy with that. And they had another thing with same type of shit, you know, where you had to carry a dude and switch, but it was like wheelbarrow. So you had a wheelbarrow dude on the bottom, like there's mud and shit, so you're doing the shit through the mud. And, you know, I mean, it worked. Big deal. They had these other joints where the electricity shit. These were like little wires that hang down. The first one you do, you're crawling. And then towards the end, there's another one where you walk or run through. They're like little yellow wires. And I guess for the most part, they're rubber coated. Like that yellow is rubber. But then the tips, I guess, are live. So when you go through them, you don't know when you're going to hit the tip of one of these joints. So like, you'll brush against these wires and as you're crawling and kind of preparing for it, but it won't hit you, and it kind of unexpectedly, and the shit kicks you. I mean, it doesn't, like, grab you and, like, electrocute you or no shit like that, but it gives you, like, that pop, you know, and it'll pop you in whatever muscles it hits. So that was, like, the first thing, you know, as far as the electricity thing was the crawl. So once I did that, I knew, like, it wasn't no worries to that. I really wasn't scared of that to begin with, because I was like, well, how bad could it be? Like, they can't, like, actually electrocute fucking people out here. So I figured, like, a good kick, yeah, but, you know. So it was kind of what I expected, and I was able to, you know, no big deal there. One part that I was disappointed with myself about, I really wasn't sure how I was going to be going in, and I didn't do what I – you know, obviously would have liked to do, was the monkey bars. They got monkey bars that goes up kind of in like a triangle formation. It goes up, and then at the top, it goes back down. And they're greased. The monkey bars are greased, too. And it's over water and shit. So if you drop, you drop in water and got to swim across or whatever. And I got like three rungs in fucking style. So I don't know what it is. I don't know if it was the grease. I don't know if like if I got like bad grip strength or some shit like this. But believe me, I'm gonna work on that shit like crazy. I had actually planned on like up the street, one of the parks I run by. You know, I had a little playground and shit. And I was gonna just like go on one of the kids' fucking, you know, jungle gym joints and just hold my legs up and like practice doing it like that. Well, they had like ripped that whole park like apart, like took the whole fucking playground part out, and I guess they're redoing it for next year or something. So that kind of just got scratched off my to-do list, and I never got a chance to do that and shit. So I guess wasn't really ready for that, and I just didn't have anything that I was doing, I guess, like, that prepared me for that. So yeah, I was kind of disappointed with that, because obviously, you know, you want to complete every, you know, obstacle and shit. So I had to, you know, swim the rest of it. But I'm gonna go fucking crazy on that for next year. I'm gonna just try to just hang on shit and just stay there as long as I can, and then, you know, like switch one arm and just hang one arm and then hang the other arm and shit like this. Do tons of fucking pull ups before then. I'm gonna beast out on that next year. I might just approve it to myself, go to the other side, turn around and come back, you know, to the start, you know, try to do a lap on that shit. That was the one thing that I didn't finish, you know, the way I wanted to. Oh, there was another thing too, but honestly, like, I gotta, like, I don't know. I kind of give myself a pass on that because I don't see a lot of motherfuckers doing that. They got these things. It's like a thin wooden, kind of like a 2x4 sideways, not the fat part, you know, not the wide part, but like the thin part. So if it was sitting up on its edge, picture that like nailed to a wall. So you have that to walk on, and on the top you have kind of like that, and it's got like a little bit of a lip so you can get hook on it. So it's got that, and you kind of shimmy across, and then the foot part disappears. So now you're just hanging by your arms up there. So that's cool. You know, I'm doing that. No problem. The foot part disappears. I'm doing that. And then there's a big-ass gap, and then another just top part. So I'm not really sure how the fuck I'm supposed to get to the next top part because I don't got no foot shit to kick off of. And I'm hanging by my fucking arms, and I got myself as close to the edge as possible, and I tried to reach, and it's longer than my arm's length. So I don't know how to, like, sideways leap swing or any, it must be some old crazy shit, but I'm going to try to prepare for next year, because that shit, definitely, you know, you want to finish. But, you know, these things are, I mean, they're obstacles for the most part. The only reason it even bothers me is because for the most part, I'm an obstacle fucking monster. But, like, the thing that I've always tried to, like, push myself and challenge myself at and get better at is the running, because until May, I was never a fucking runner. So I consider myself the anti-runner because I'm not like one of them dudes. Obviously I'm not huge, but I'm not one of them dudes that has like, you know, arms for legs and shit. And, like you see some of these people, and it's funny when I say that too, because any big dude would probably tell me I got arms for legs. But, you know, if you actually did any of these normal 5K races, the motherfucker that wins that shit that does a 5K in like 17 minutes or 15 minutes or some shit like that, the motherfucker's legs are stupid looking. They look like my dog's legs. You know what I mean? Like, but they're fast. I mean, that's what a runner is. They don't drain shit else. They don't do anything. They just fucking run. And their motherfuckers is fast. And, you know, I give them credit for what they do, but that's not me. I mean, I'm not one of them. So I'm kind of the anti-runner. So I always have to, like, train myself towards that. But as far as, like, the climbing obstacles, crawling, all of that type of shit, like, I'm good for it. And I blaze obstacles for the most part. So that's the reason why it bothered me, you know, a little bit as far as not accomplishing those obstacles as much as, you know, I did others. So anyway, then there's another one, walk the plank. This joint, you got to climb up this like outside wall. And, if I pause here and there, it's because I got my, I decided like 5 minutes before the show, I decided, just throw the DVD on and shit. And, I can't find my, Misawa Kawada, but I threw on the Misawa Kobashi, DVD. And I just got it, like, up on my TV and shit, and then somebody's head drops suplex and shit. It kind of takes me off track, but I figured it'd be good background something because, you know, just sitting there with no TV or anything on talking for a couple hours is a little tedious. But anyway, this walk-a-plank thing, you got to climb up, like, you know, a bunch of boards and shit, and you end up, like, 15 feet plus in the air. You know what I mean? Like, you're on this platform up there. Like higher than 15 feet. They don't really tell you exactly what it is, but they say 15 feet plus. So it's that, and then there's a plank, and you got to jump the fuck off into water that's 15 feet plus below you. So, and that shit doesn't look as high from the ground. When you get up there, that shit looks high as hell. And heights is another thing I've never been a huge fan of. And I've gotten much, much better with it over the years, but yeah, man, like, you get up there and you get a little like, whoa, like I initially, you know, a plan, I'm like, I'm gonna do some old super fly shit coming off of this. And then you do the most bitch ass jump coming off of this thing because you just want to do it and you just want to get it out. So I'll have to work on to a cool looking jump, but I'm sure if there was any type of pictures of that shit didn't look cool at all. 'Cause I jumped off of there as cautious as hell, But again, you know, you're jumping off 15 foot plus into the water. The water's like, you know, I guess like 10, 12 feet or some shit, so you ain't going to kill yourself. And then you got to swim to the, you know, to the nets and shit, you know, maybe 20 feet you got to swim. So you swim, you get out, keep running. Another one I was worried about was the boa constrictor, which is like these they kind of look like sewer tubes or some shit like that. Like big cylinders, and you got to crawl through these tunnels, like tubes. And one goes like on a little bit of a downward angle, and the next one goes at an upward angle. Again, I was not so fond of it going in because, you know, tight space, claustrophobia type thing. And no problem, not a problem at all. And, you know, with that little bit of claustrophobia thing, a lot of it is like the fear of not being able to escape. Yeah, I mean, having something like blocking your way to get out and just being trapped in there and shit. And that was easily broken too, because, like I said, I'm blazing through some of this stuff. And that one, especially because I didn't want to be in there, you know, I would have blazed through it. But the big, tall, doofy dude in front of me, he wasn't going at no type of fucking speed. So I'm standing there looking at the back of this fucking guy's sneakers for, you know, whatever, 5 minutes for this dude to get through there. So I'm laying in this fucking tube of water and everything. You know, no worries. So it actually went, like I said, a lot better than I expected with the tight spaces. I actually wasn't worried about one of them once I was doing it. So cool stuff. Then you got to carry a tire, whether it be truck tire, car tire. There's like a pile of tires. I grabbed the biggest one I could find. And you got to walk, I think, 100 yards. So you got to walk like this big lap around like a concrete, you know, median, and then circle back, and then you put the tire down. You got to run through one of the last things. You run through the electrical wires again, but now this time you're running through them. And then one of the last obstacles is Everest. Everest is like a half pipe. It's like a big ass, like, I don't know, if, I guess they call that a quarter pipe? I don't know. But like a half pipe, cut in half type shit, so I would guess a quarter. But you got to run up this thing and either be able to grab the ledge or grab the people's hands, because there's people up there helping and shit, you know, help you get up there. So, and then when you get up there, you help some people too. So I was able to do that on the first try, but I'm just thinking to myself, like, dude, your legs are fucking dead at the end of this shit. The amount of, like, huge incline hills that you run, like, throughout this thing, like I said, 12 miles, you're running these crazy incline hills, you know, and then to have to run up some kind of half pipe is one of the last things you do. These motherfuckers is funny. But, yeah, I was able to do it on my first try going up, because you've seen a lot of people, you know, try and then have to try again. I was standing there, because it's a little bit of a line when you get to that, because there's only so many rows you could fit running up this pipe. And I'm just thinking to myself, I'm like, dude, my legs is fucking killing me. I'm like, I'm not gonna be running up and down this fucking thing, you know, four times and shit. I was like, you gotta fucking sprint up this joint and get the fuck over there. So I did that. I helped like four people up the wall once I was up there. And then I moved on and finished in, and there's like towards the end too, there's like these huge walls. These walls are like at least 10 feet high, and the only way you're getting over them for the most part is with like assistance. So you get like a dude to like more or less like grab your foot, and you could like help you step up and grab the top of the wall and get over, like that type of thing. And then you help other people, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, again, towards the end, this shit's fucking crazy. But yeah, I ended up finishing. They really don't time it. It's more like a completion challenge. And I did it in 3 hours and 10 minutes. So I started at 1:20 and ended at like 4:30. So I was happy about that. One other funny thing too is because they have like your water stops, and you know, they'll have like bananas and shit. And the one stop they had like these little bars, and like these little bar. I never seen these shits before, but And they're like, yeah, okay, you know, just take one. The red ones are for energy, and the yellow ones are for sodium and shit. So I'm just like, well, I don't, you know, I'm not, like, sweating my ass off. I don't need sodium, so fuck it up. Go with the energy one. And I look, and anybody knows me, I hate cherry-flavored fucking anything. And I hate fucking one of the flavors I hate more than fucking anything in the world, and fruits I hate more than anything in the world is fucking mango. The yellow ones are fucking mango, and the red ones are cherry. I'm like, son of a bitch. It's like they tailored this shit for me. So I'm like, all right. So I ate the cherry one, you know, kind of gross or whatever. But I just thought it was funny because if you picked out two fucking flavors I find horrible, and that would probably be the two of them as far as, like, a fruit flavor. So I just thought that was funny. Anyway, so, yeah. I finished it. This is actually the third event that I've been offered a free beer and I passed on. It's now, I think, 14 weeks without me drinking. So, you know, big accomplishment for me. Next year I'm doing much, much more, too. I'm kind of sad that the season's over. I damn sure don't want to be jumping in water. Oh, and speaking of, I missed the most fucking ridiculous part. I guess I'll segue back to that. The hardest fucking thing, the hardest, most brutal fucking obstacle of the whole thing is that shit they call the Arctic Enema. And that shit is a motherfucker. You got to jump into, it's like a lined dumpster. The dumpster is like lined with, like, you know, thick plastic lining and shit. And got water that comes probably about, like, almost to your chest type thing. Ice in it, just like tons of fucking ice in there, straight up ice water. You jump in there, you walk a couple feet, and then there's a board, and you got to go under the board, so you submerge your whole body in this shit, and then walk another couple feet, and then climb out of here. This shit fucking hurts. I knew it was going to be cold. I didn't want to jump in no motherfucking cold, so I knew when it came down to it, this was going to suck. I had no idea how much that shit was going to suck. I mean, that shit hurts your whole fucking body. And it starts from, like, your balls and asshole, like someone just kicked you clear in the balls. Like, your whole shit just locks up when you get out of there, and it's just, like, I'm telling you, like, the pain in the balls was just fucking unreal, and your shit is just all fucking, oh, man. So, like, once you finally get, you might take, like, you know, 30 seconds, 40 seconds or some shit like that before you could even really move, at least on my end, and then you start running, but you're, like, you're running all, like, rickety and shit, like, like, you barely feel all the shit you got, and then, you know, you get maybe 100 feet, and then you start, you know, you can feel your legs and arms and fucking run normal again and shit, but whoa, that shit, that was fucking severe. Man, but anyway, like I was saying, I really don't want to be jumping in water in December and shit like that, so I'm not, like, upset that I can't do more of these things, like, right this year, but I wish it was still earlier in the season, you know, spring, summer, fall type thing, because I do want to be doing more of these. However, next year, I'm going to be doing a lot more of these. I'm going to be doing, for sure, I'm going to do the Warrior Dash again. I'm going to do Savage Race, which Savage Race is kind of like a 5K version of Tough Mudder. Like, it has those badass obstacles, but, you know, in a shorter race. Then I'm also going to be doing the Spartan Race. Spartan Race is in, like, September, and then Tough Mudder again in October. And Tough Mudder next year, what I'd really like to be able to do is two laps. So more or less be able to do two laps at a Tough Mudder. I've seen some people do it. And two laps at a Tough Mudder in the same day. That's my goal. And that will be, you know, my main event again, like this was this year. My main event will be, you know, doing that shit again. Only this time, I hope to be able to pull off two laps. Why not? So, yeah, I mean, overall, it was great. I was really, really happy to have completed that. And, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, nonstop training from here to next year. And when it comes down to it, too, I wasn't really pushing myself a year before this race. So now if, you know, calendar year to calendar year, I push myself from here till next October. The shit I could accomplish in that time is, man, unlimited. So that's where I'm at now. Like I said, I had a great time. Definitely going to do it again. And I highly recommend it. I mean, anybody, you know, listening to shit, they want to get into this type of thing, fucking hit me up. I could definitely, you know, steer you in the right direction on, you know, what to train for and what to do and just how to get yourself ready for this type of shit. It's like I said before, it's kind of like a playground for adults. Like, there's not a lot of, you know, ways and reasons you get to, like, just crawl around and jump and climb and shit when you're 35 years old. So this, to me, was, you know, a really cool experience like that. Once I got into these mud races, I'm like, you know what? Like, this kind of brings you back a little bit. It's obviously a much more, you know, hardcore pace than you would do just being in a playground as a kid, but that's, you know, step your game up as an adult. So, yeah, it was good stuff. So, I have nothing bad to say there. I think I might take a quick break, play a song, come back, hit a bunch of topics. Like I said, I got the CZW to review. I got a bunch of other things to cover too. I guess real quick before I do that, because I got to hit all these fucking topics. Low-key's retiring from wrestling. He had a tour over in Japan, and he got hurt over there, and apparently in the contract there was that he was supposed to be covered. You know, injuries were supposed to be covered within the contract, and, you know, that's not what they did. The exact quote that he put on there: due to All Japan Pro Wrestling not honoring their contractual obligations of medical care after being injured in All Japan Pro Wrestling, I'm retiring from pro wrestling. So that's what he posted on his Facebook, Twitter, whatever you want to call it. You know, it's a shame from what I hear, you know, and I don't know for sure, but from what I hear and from very reliable source, Homicide, he said more or less like he got that ACL, MCL, hamstring fucked up. Yeah, I mean, kind of like Adrian Peterson shit, only without the WWE money. Or, you know, not the WWE money, Jesus Christ. Without the NFL money. Yeah, I mean, so without someone taking care of that, and that's some shit that, you know, on many different sports will end careers and shit like this. And that's so much, you know, to recover from. And, you know, from what low-key does in the ring, imagine just destroying your fucking, you know, knee and shit. Just fuck, man. So, yeah, that's a shame. But, I mean, he's given so much to wrestling that, you know, we've definitely gotten a full career worth of low-key matches. So, I mean, if that's what's best for the dude to not come back, then that's what's best for him. You know, I can only thank him for his time, you know, doing it. And, I mean, it's a dude that I would love to interview, but I know he's not the type. But yeah, I mean, such tremendous matches over the years. A lot of people have really kind of shit on low-key for his attitude and this and this and this. Now, obviously, you know, not being a pro wrestler or ever having to work with him or anything like that, you know, I can never really know or comment for sure. But from what my perspective was, always on low-key was this. He's a guy who worked incredibly hard to be able to do shit as well as he does. And, you know, constant training and conditioning and everything. And I think a lot of times what the problems were with low-key is people not working as hard as he did or not taking it as serious as he did. So, you know, whether, you know, obviously it's a work and all of that, but if people are going to make something look bad that he's worked so hard to make look good, I think he took offense to that. And of course I can't put, you know, words in the dude's mouth, but I don't know. I always just kind of got that vibe. And of course, I mean, a lot of shit could be his fault. I mean, fuck, everybody's, you know, human and, you know, people can have bad days. Some people are just jerk-offs. I mean, I don't really know the dude like that. But either way, incredible athlete. Definitely just, you know, five-star matches all over the place. Just really, you know, show-stealing dude, was always putting on top-notch performances, and he'll definitely be missed in pro wrestling. So, you know, hopefully he can at least come back and have, you know, maybe like a proper retirement tour and shit when, you know, when he does heal up, whether it be a year, year and a half, 2 years, just come back, you know, do a six-month retirement tour or something like that and go out the right way. I mean, I'd love to see it, you know, and just hopefully he's able to live like, you know, a life without pain, you know, in the future, because that's the main thing, is, you know, you have one of these horrendous injuries, you know, you hope the dude ain't just going to walk around in pain for the rest of his life, because that's, you know, that's just brutal. So, but yeah, man, much respect to that dude. He'll definitely be missing the wrestling business, and that's what's up. So, all right, let me take one of several breaks tonight. I'll come back and hit some more topics and shit, and that's what's up.
Hey, yo, I'm focused. It's the locust. Old trite is holding the soldiers to prognosis. Probably why I rose from zero to hope. Cause I was wide-eyed and open-nosed on my approach. Nigga, hold the toast you provoked. 44 snub hugs my scrotum when I roll. Yes, I hold my own. Swift to think you Debo's clone. I'm aiming. Watch him switching to Damon. And next Friday I can bet you change, man. When them fangs in hand, it's not a game, man. I ghost ya. I bring you much closer to Jehovah. Definition of a soldier. I told ya I hold the toast when I approach. It's close at all times by my side in the holster. Holster roaster. Make me blow my composure. Pop this all over when the fofo blows and goes up. When I'm up in the club and these niggas they wanna act tough till they get plugged. Watch them bullets go. Now you touch from a slug, hugging the streets like you in love. Your heart rate's like the ambulance arrived, they rush you to the spittle, flying by my ride in July. Homie, you just died, your family through crying. I pulled off a crime just to trick and lose your faith. In the fool's race, I pulled my tool first, nigga, you was in second place. The second place just means you didn't react with haste. And this differentiates life or murder being a case. And since murder was the case, it just means niggas are raped. Another black mother can't eat the food on a plate, cause she ain't got the taste as if raising you was a waste. Such a short span, young man, said it to wait. First I'm a man, second I'm 5'8", but size and weight won't give a nigga the upper hand. Cause when I pop, I get his up like Barry Sand. Sit in the can, he never ran like Barry Sand. Obi ain't playing, Obi got a plan, and a plan is not to be land in Earth's land. I will pop before the can in Earth's land. You get shot for playing me less than a man, motherfucker. When I'm up in the club and these niggas they wanna act tough till they get plugged, watch them bullets go. Now you touch from a slug, hugging the streets like you in love. Your heart rate's like the ambulance arrive, they rush you to the spittle, flying by my ride in July. Homie, you just died, your family through crime. I pulled off a crime just to niggas get it twisted. Liquor make them envision that gangsterism is disrespecting a nigga's wishes. Witches, all that tough talk in front of bitches. Yeah, you 15 deep, the desert eater give you stitches. And I can be all the bitches and hoes you wanna, but I warn you, the Glock can make it hot as California. You be popped on the corner, flesh meat in the coroner. O's in quarantine, cause no hoes in me, cause no hoes in me. Niggas take advantage till I manage to pull that hammer out. They start scattering, I'm no gangster, I'm an average man. But be damned if I let them do me savage, man. Before that, I'm strapped and will challenge him. Cock back and the gas will damage them. It's not an act, this is fact, this is how I'm programmed. This is me, what I'm about, this who I am, motherfucker. When I'm up in the club and these niggas they wanna act tough till they get plugged, watch them bullets go. Now you touch from a slug, hugging the streets like you in love. Your heart rate's like the ambulance arrive, they rush you to the spittle, flying by my ride in July. Homie, you just died, your family through crime. I pulled off a crime just to trick it.
right. I'm going to hit up the NFL joint real quick. You know, last week's picks were just absolutely horrendous. I had four right picks all week. Just really, really bad. A lot of games, obviously, I didn't predict well. But kind of an unpredictable week, in my opinion. But, I mean, all of that goes without saying. If I picked completely wrong, I obviously didn't predict any of that shit. So, kind of retarded statement. All right. So, Thursday, the Giants lost to the Bears, which I had actually picked the fucking Bears. And they just didn't cover. They didn't cover the spread. So that's what happened. But the Bears picked off Eli three times. Eli Manning has been just fucking horrendous this year. How many interceptions has he had? 15 interceptions this season. I mean, the dude is just fucking horrible this year. So the Bears went in and beat them. The Giants are now 0-6, and I find it hilarious. The Bears, you know, bettered to 4-2. So that's that. Sunday, the Bengals went and beat the Bills. Well, what can you say? They brought it all the way to overtime, though. So it's something I surely didn't expect. Dalton threw for 337 yards, three touchdowns. You know, 4-2 Bengals, 2-4 Bills. The Lions went in there and beat the Browns. I had picked the Browns. The Browns are actually looking pretty good. Even with Whedon back in the game the week before, I thought they looked pretty good. Obviously, I think Hoyer was definitely the better, you know, better quarterback there. It's not like they have a choice when the dude gets hurt. But, I don't know. They might suffer a little with Whedon. So, I guess we'll see how that goes, you know, goes over the season. But, the Lions are good. And, I think they're definitely a contender to Lions. I think regardless of what goes on, Reggie Bush, what he does out there is extremely important to the Lions offense. If the Lions are able to go in there and get Reggie Bush going on the ground, get him going on some screen passes and everything else, they generally can win the game. I think a lot of their offense is centered around what Reggie Bush does. So that's my opinion there. But the Browns weren't able to match up with them. So they're 3-3 now, which, you know, isn't too bad. And the Lions 4-2. So yeah. The Chiefs went in and beat the Raiders, remained undefeated at 6-0. It's just this team is so complete as far as what they're doing. Their defense is really stepping up. Alex Smith has been very good. This game wasn't one of those games that he was really that great. He went 14 for 31, only 128 yards and no touchdown passes. But, they still put up 24 points in a win over the Raiders. So, they're just getting the job done. That's what it is. Chiefs are just no fucking joke. Definitely coming to, very few teams without, defeats on their record. Let me see. At this point, I believe it's them and I think the Broncos. I think them and the Broncos are the only teams that are undefeated. I could be wrong. I don't think so, though. I think that's just them and the Broncos left, which is really, really interesting, too, because you're going to go into – fuck, man. I forget what week they play now. But when they play again – You're gonna see them head to head, and then 2 weeks later they're gonna go in and play again. So it's gonna be a huge, huge battle. Trying to actually pull it up while I'm bullshitting, but let me see. Excuse me for a minute. Just trying to pull up the Broncos schedule, see if I can get a quick run on it. Let me see, Broncos schedule. I know, it's fucking horrendous radio. I know some people that do this on a regular basis that sound like that. Let me see, the Broncos. will go in and play the Chiefs on November 17th, and that'll be at home at Mile High over there. And then 2 weeks later, they'll go in and play the Chiefs at the Chiefs' house. And it'll be tough for the Broncos, too, because you'll have the Broncos at home against the Chiefs. Then the Broncos go to New England, and then they go to Kansas City. So they got, you know, quite a little battle for themselves to go over to, you know, Tom Brady's house and see what's up there. And, yeah, I mean, I just look forward to those games. I definitely hope they're televised. If not, you know, I'm sure we'll all be seeing a lot of them on Red Zone because, you know, the guys are going to be fucking high scoring. I can almost guarantee that. On one side of the ball or both, you know, we'll see. But, yeah, the Chiefs remain undefeated, long story short. The Panthers beat the Vikings, which is another just did not expect that one. Minnesota's banged up at quarterback. They had Matt Castle back there and just didn't do that fantastic. They're actually going to be starting Josh Freeman, their newly acquired Josh Freeman, on Monday Night Football when they go. I forget who they play up. We'll see that in a minute. But, I didn't expect that. I really didn't expect that. I don't think the Panthers are that great. But, you know, Cam Newton went out there, did his thing, threw three touchdowns. And, you know, everybody just had Adrian Peterson after, you know, a terrible thing that happened with his kid. You know, the dude, I don't think I even talked about this. I think it happened later in the week after the show. But apparently one of his ex's new boyfriend, or whether new boyfriend, whatever, boyfriend, beat his kid and killed him, 2-year-old. And, and a lot of people were tossing things around. Oh, he didn't even know that it was his kid until the kid was dead or this and that and all this other bullshit. Doesn't really fucking matter. So, it's just a terrible thing to have happen. So, the thing I didn't agree with, and I'm not going to, you know, while everyone's talking that positive stuff, I'm not going to just go on the internet and be like, nah, you guys are fucking nuts. Like, that's just not the way it works. But everyone had him completely locked to have the best game of his career and stuff. And yeah, that sounds like a wonderfully painted story. That sounds fantastic, but that doesn't mean that's exactly what's going to happen. So of course, I mean, he went out there, 10 carries, 62 yards, not a great game, but honestly, in my opinion, he's not having a fantastic year. I mean, he's having an okay year, but, it's easy to be in the off season and go, I'm going to run for more yards than I did last year. I'm going to break records in half and all of that. Yeah, but until you get into the season, it's really hard to make that happen. You know, and just because a tragedy happens doesn't necessarily mean, oh, okay, now he's going to have the best game ever. Like, you know, well, you know. So, but like I've said in the past, Minnesota's offense completely, and really their team as a whole, relies on Adrian Peterson having a beast of a game. Because if he starts having an unstoppable game, they have to fucking play their defense completely based towards the run. And if they do that, it opens up a lot of possibilities for play actions and everything else, and it opens up the passing game completely. But, you know, when you have Matt Castle in there and he's not able to get it done, then you're not going to win the football game. You know, and Christian Ponder was doing, you know, worse than that, you know, previously. So, you know, we'll see what Josh Freeman could do. I think he could do some pretty good things, but they have a hard time because they really don't have any fantastic targets anymore. Percy Harvin's gone. I mean, he's not really active in Seattle either, so he wouldn't be active there. But, the team's just not a great team. They have the best running back in the league, but they're just not a great team. So it really relies on the best running back in the league carrying that team on his back. So it's that's tough to go. Anyway, the Steelers beat the Jets. Now all the Steeler fans are riled up and you know, expecting to do things again. But they just beat the Jets, so they have one win now. And I didn't expect that because it's hard to bet on any team that hasn't won yet until they win. So sure enough, now I have to take them into I have to take that win into account when I'm trying to pick these goddamn games. The Bucks, however, still did not pull off a win. The Eagles with a backup quarterback, you know, beat the Bucks. So that's that. The Bucks are having big, big problems there. I really don't have a lot of answer. You could definitely, you know, hop over to the Sports Den over there, you know, after you listen to this, and Nick is a Bucks fan, and he'll definitely give you some kind of in-depth reasoning on what he feels is wrong with it, because I don't really know. I knew, you know, they have a lot of chemistry issues. Jackson over there is receiving the shit out of that ball. He's definitely getting some fucking yardage. 9 receptions, 114 yards, 2 touchdowns. Vincent Jackson's fucking beasting over there. But, you know, obviously it's going to take a little more than that. And, yeah, it's not going so well in Tampa Bay. But, you know, when Philly's able to do that with a backup quarterback, that's, I think Nick Foles is his name. I don't think he's that great of a quarterback. Obviously, he wouldn't be a backup if he was, but yeah. I mean, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens with the Bucks. This might be, you know, a couple-year building process, and yeah, they might end up being a great team, you know, 2 years down the road and have to look back at this season. I mean, you remember, I think the Chiefs had like 2 wins last year, some shit like this. So, yeah, you know, you could be right around the corner from being a beastly team and just get fucked up the year before. So, the Packers went and beat the Ravens. Man, I'm having the hardest time with fucking Ray Rice on my fantasy team, dude. I thought it was the biggest fucking steal to get this guy. He had fucking 14 carries for 34 yards. He's such a piece of shit on my team. I can't get out of the way of this fucking guy. He's hurt. I fucking got to pull him out of the fucking, out of my lineup. Oh, he's finally back. Oh, right, yeah, fuck, 34 yards. Fuck out of here with that shit. I don't even know what to do. I don't even know what to do. It's not like there's a bunch of running backs available in the league right now. And if I get rid of this fucking guy and then he snaps and fucking starts, you know, busting yards off, I'm going to be pissed off. So, whatever, the fucking Packers win. The Ravens were scoreless in the first half. I don't know, fucking Ravens. Fuck me in the Super Bowl, and they're going to fuck me when I pick them in the fucking season. the Rams beat the Texans, which, man, it seems like a lot of the league is out to just tarnish our wins. You know? The Rams just get trounced over and over after we beat the Rams. And then we beat the Texans pretty heavily, and the fucking Rams go in there and beat the Texans pretty heavily. So it's like, oh, fuck, man. The Texans have clearly fallen off. I mean, Arian Foster had 141 yards in this game, and it didn't fucking matter at all. 13 points on their end. So, yeah, the Texans are horrendous this year. Yeah. The Jaguars lost to the Broncos. They did not cover that crazy fucking 28-point spread, though. That was not going to be that's why I picked the Jaguars. I think the Jaguars were one of my only wins there because they had a 28-point underdog. So I took those points because, fuck, man, like I said, even garbage time, you let a touchdown here and there. It pretty much helped that spread. So, sure enough, yeah, the Broncos beat the shit out of them, but, yeah. The Titans almost beat the Seahawks. They lost 13-20, but for a good part of the game, and, you know, down the stretch, the Seahawks came out of it and then won the game, but, man, the Titans had their real close, and we play them next week, so we're going to have to see what they have in them. They're 3-3, but I don't think that even speaks to how good they can be. They went into Seattle and really, you know, gave them a fight. The Patriots beat the Saints last fucking seconds, ticking off the clock. The Saints were up. Fucking Brady goes down and just scores. It's like nothing. And, I mean, just amazing. You know? Let me see. Something else, too. I mean, I mean, to just go in there and just be able to score like that is just, you know, that's something you're only really going to see out of, you know, the Tom Brady and crew. That's just not something everyone's going to do. You know, just go down there, be down for, you know, the final stretch of the game and just fucking just lights out like it was nothing. Just goes right down, manages the clock, ticking off the clock. I believe it was a rookie wide receiver, caught the ball, bam, fuck, touchdown, game over. Sit, go home. And not only that, but the Patriots defense absolutely eliminated Jimmy Graham, one of Drew Brees' favorite fucking targets, eliminated him from the game. He had zero catches, and that was the first time since his rookie season that anyone shut him down for zero catches. So that, you know, pretty fucking impressive. Saints are now 5-1, and so are the Pats. So that you know, took the undefeated streak away from the Saints. So then you got my Niners. Went in there, beat the Cardinals. There were some garbage points in there. You know, we really beat this team a lot more convincingly than the score looks. Kaepernick went in there, threw for 252 yards, 2 touchdowns, both of which to Vernon Davis. Vernon Davis had an absolute monstrous day. 8 receptions for 180 yards. Frank Gore ran for 100 yards. You know, I mean, it is what it is there. You know, Fitzgerald on the other side of the ball, you know, went for over 100 yards receiving. And, you know, we gave up a couple touchdowns, you know, one to Fitzgerald. It was just like our dudes were going in there, you know, trying to get picks and whatever. And dude missed the pick and just, you know, left the lane wide open. So it was pretty much do or die. And they died on that, you know, on that play. And, that was it. It was just, you know, Fitzgerald for 6 as soon as he missed that pick. And, no, but definitely, good stuff. Good stuff. You know, 4 turnovers. We were able to turn the ball over 4 times on them. The ball over 4 times on them. This is the thing, too, is, as good as we've looked in certain aspects, and I keep saying it, but we're only going to get better. And the scary thing is because, you know, we had that game in the beginning of the season against, you know, first week of the season, we had that game against Green Bay. And Anquan Boldin just completely lit up, fucking just lit up. I think he had around the same type of like 180 yards or something like that. He might have even been over 200. I don't know. But I know just incredible amount, like just dominating fucking receiving game. And Vernon Davis was able to do the same thing in this game. And what seems to happen is if one of those guys gets lit up, you know, you got to watch Anquan Boldin. So that gives breathing room to Vernon Davis. You got to watch Vernon Davis, that gives breathing room to Anquan Boldin. So one of these guys are always dangerous to just completely come out. Now, when it comes down to, like, November-type business, because Mario Manningham has already started practicing lightly, they're saying could be 2 weeks, well, actually 3 weeks, because we got this week coming up against the Titans. Following week, we got Jacksonville in London, which I fucking hate this playing in London bullshit, and then a bye week, and then come back and play Carolina. And they're saying possibly Mario Manningham could play against Carolina. So right around the corner, and then they're saying mid-November, Michael Crabtree could be back. By that point, you're talking a definite healthy Mario Manningham. Now, can you imagine Anquan Boldin, Vernon Davis, Mario Manningham, and Michael Crabtree at wide receiver?
who can you possibly – you can't double cover anybody. The field becomes so open and so dangerous with those guys spread out like that. And then on top of that, you got Frank Gore doing what he's doing. You got Kendall Hunter back there. And LaMichael James, I'm not really sure when he comes back, but I would imagine he's probably going to be, you know, along the lines of healthy, you know, later in the year. Trying to see when actually he's I almost want to say he's just about healthy. Yeah, I mean, I'm not really sure. He's got a little bit to go. But, I mean, you imagine this lineup and stuff and what we could do with that. Like I said, it's pretty much out of the possibilities that Alden Smith's going to be back with us. The dude's probably going to do 4 years, or even if he gets some kind of lowered charges, the dude's going to be doing a while. And, yeah, ship has sailed on that. But we really have our defense locked down for the most part. We've been doing real, real big things on defense. Navarro Bowman was holding down our defense with Patrick Willis out. Patrick Willis being a leader of our defense. So the two of them in just beasts on linebacker, you really can't match that across the NFL. And I still think that we're a force to be reckoned with. We go in there, if we get this win against the Titans, Jacksonville is the biggest joke in the NFL. We go over to London, we take care of them. We got a bye week. We come back against a Carolina Panthers team that does not have a lot going for them. Cam Newton, he's all they got. They got a decent tight end, not a lot of wide receivers to throw to. I think they got Ted Ginn. I've always liked Ted Ginn, so I can't take anything away from him. He's a good, you know, kick return threat, and I think he's a good, pretty good wide receiver too. He was one of those dudes I always wish we would have, you know, held on to. But it's all good. But I mean, we can go on a pretty mad tear here. I mean, you put these wins on top of what we got already. By the time we get our guys back, we could just have a whole lot more wins piled on what we already have. You know, preparing for Seattle towards the end of the season again, we'll be all ready to go. You know, playing that game back in San Francisco, I mean, there's going to be playoffs to be talking about with San Francisco. So, you know, still a force to be reckoned with. You know, a little bit of holes here and there, a little bit of, you know, injuries and stuff to work through, but, man, we're still a fucking force. So, all right. Cowboys went and beat the Redskins. RG3 just really started to look pretty bad, you know, in points of this game. It's really hard to it's hard to call for me. Because, you know, I got RG3 over there on my fucking fantasy team. And I don't know. Keep hoping for better out of this guy. But seems like he's scared to run. And I can't blame him after a huge injury on his rookie season. But, he's, you know, he's got the knee brace on. They don't want to just let him out of the gates. They want to protect him. But in the same token, to protect him and, you know, sacrifice your games and your season, they kind of got to make a decision on what they want to do. Yeah, they got to let him go. They got to let him do what he got to do out there to win. And, you know, so I don't know. We're going to see what the Redskins do. A lot of big question marks, and I think a lot of them surround what RG3's play is like, because he completely turned that team on their head into a team that you had to open your eyes and look at. And it was because fucking RG3 was such an X factor. You didn't know what to do with him. He was one of the biggest threats as far as a running quarterback, and just had an arm on him as well. So you had to worry about that run. You had to really guard that line. You couldn't let any, you know, any air up on as far as him scrambling or, you know, rolling out. You had to keep, you know, guarded there. And then that bomb down the field ended up, you know, widening because you didn't want to tighten up on those receivers too much. You wanted to leave that option to come in and, you know, cover the quarterback because he could break out. But if he's not able to be some kind of threat on rolling out and taking off, then it's really hard for, you know, those receivers to be getting open because they could just be covered tightly. And I think it all revolves around that, you know. Could be wrong. But the Colts went in and got surprised by the Chargers. Just they were able to just take control. And I really didn't expect this one. I don't know what to fucking call out of the Chargers now. So they went in and they beat them 19-9. You know? No throwing touchdowns out of the Colts. I think no touchdowns at all. I think, yeah, it was 3 field goals. You know, just hold them to nothing but field goals. The Colts that went in there and beat the Niners. The Colts that went in there and beat the Seahawks. You know, this team is tough. But surprising to go in there and lose to the Chargers. So, you know, I don't know if this is one of those fluke games or the Chargers are going to wind up being somewhat of a, you know, force to be reckoned with or something to worry about down the road. Yeah, like they said, any given Sunday. So, you know, could just be one of those games. So that's that. I'm going to go over my picks right quick. Let me see. Let me pull this up. Got my fucking iPad. It locks every time you don't touch it for fucking 30 seconds. All right. Let me see. All right. The Thursday game is Seattle at Arizona. Seattle's favored by 7.5 points. I think Seattle's going to go in there and make a statement against Arizona. You know, Arizona, we were able to take advantage of them and, you know, shut them down. Seattle has a tough pass defense. I didn't expect them to allow it to be that close with the Titans. So, yeah, I think Arizona's going to catch it from the two big heavy hitters of the NFC West, ourselves and the Seattle Seahawks. So I think the Seahawks are going to go in there into Arizona and beat them convincingly. So, of course, I hope Arizona pulls that one, though, but I'm picking Seattle. New England at the Jets. New England is favored by 4.5 points. I think they easily win by that. Pittsburgh just went and beat the Jets. New England, you know, beat the high-powered New Orleans Saints last second, but they did what they had to do. They shut guys down, you know, primary targets. I think Geno Smith is going to have a hard time with Tom Brady, you know, in a shootout with Tom Brady. So I'm going New England. Dallas at Philadelphia. Philly is favored by 3.5 at home. I think Vic is still out. I got to go with Dallas on this one. I just don't think Philadelphia's defense is that good. There's going to be teams that take advantage of it. I thought the Bucs would be able to, but unfortunately there's a Buck, and that just didn't happen. So I think Dallas is the team, you know, another big NFC East rivalry. They're going to go in there, and I think convincingly beat the Philadelphia Eagles. So then you got Tampa Bay at Atlanta. Hold on, my dog's being retarded. I got to kick her out of the room because she's making fucking dumb noises. Come here. Come on, Lily. All right. And then we got, let me see. You got Tampa Bay at Atlanta. Atlanta's favored by 7.5 points. I got to go with Tampa Bay on this one. I think 7.5 points might be a little too much. Atlanta seems to be falling apart. They keep losing receivers and pieces that are puzzled by the week. Guys out all over the place. I think Matt Ryan is actually going to throw a couple picks in this game. I'd say that's going to be a little bit of a tough game. I think it's going to be a close game, even if Tampa Bay doesn't pull out their first win. It'll be close enough. It's not going to be 7.5, so I'm going to give Tampa Bay to go on that. Cincinnati at Detroit. Detroit's favored by 3.5 at home. I'm going to go with Detroit. I think Reggie Bush gets going against Cincinnati. And like I said, that's the key to their game. Detroit pulling it. St. Louis at Carolina. Carolina favored by 5.5 points. I think they ride off of what they did last week. I don't think St. Louis rides off of what they did last week. I think St. Louis catches the loss here. That's that. Chicago at Washington. I just got to see RG3 come out of this one. And Washington's favored by 1.5, so we're just talking about winning the game. Let's see RG3 come out, play a good game, and come out with the win. It's a scary game because I could definitely see Chicago beating the living shit out of Washington, but for whatever reason, I'm going with Washington on this one. Buffalo at Miami. Miami's favored by 8.5 points, and I think that's too much. Those AFC East
AFC East games usually go somewhat slugfest-ish, and I think this is going to be the same. I think it's going to be a close game. Miami, I'd say Miami's going to win the game, but I don't think it's going to be by 8.5 points, so I'm going to go with Buffalo. San Diego with Jacksonville, and San Diego's favored by 7.5 points. San Diego just came off of beating the Colts. I think they go into Jacksonville and beat Jacksonville up. San Francisco at Tennessee. San Francisco's favored by 4.5. You already know who I got there. I've got my guys right there. Cleveland at Green Bay. Green Bay's favored by 10.5 points. Green Bay's another one of those teams that's losing a lot of pieces of the puzzle. I think Cleveland's a scrappy team, you know, whether they have Hoyer anymore or whether Brandon Whedon's completely on point. I think Cleveland's a tough enough team defensively to keep it close. I don't think it's 10.5, so I got to go with Cleveland. Baltimore at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's favored by 1.5. I hope the fuck Ray Rice starts running the ball like he gives a shit. So I'm going to go with Baltimore here, and I don't think Pittsburgh's big win over the Jets tells any kind of fucking stories, and I think Baltimore gets the win. Houston at Kansas City. Kansas City favored by 6.5. This undefeated Kansas City team should roll over Houston, who has been looking like a joke everywhere they go. And I'm going to go with Kansas City staying undefeated still. Denver at Indianapolis. Peyton Manning's first going back home to Indy game. Denver's favored by 6.5 points. I think he goes home and he puts on a show. Denver stays undefeated as well. And the final game, Minnesota at the Giants. Josh Freeman's first game as a Minnesota Viking. Going into the Giants completely winless fucking stadium in Jersey, but they'll say New York a million fucking times. And I hope Josh Freeman sends the fucking Giants back to the locker room with yet another loss. The Giants are favored by 3.5 points. But I hope Adrian Peterson has a beast game. Josh Freeman makes the Bucks sad that they fucking got rid of him. And that's my pick is Minnesota there. So that's the football picks. That's what's up there. Take another break. Come back. Talk about the CZW show. yeah, let me do that. All right.
Stuck up behind him, had his hands in his pocket. Took my pistol out, unlocked it. Pulled the hammer back and cocked it. And left his shit all on the carpet. I seen her. I pinpointed my car. I'm making my way up out the building. I got that nigga that I came here to get. Notify his children. That day your man then fell up out the game. Because I came to this motherfucker and killed his ass. It's like Jesse James. Some other
got me bent, I got to break. Because he's digging and put his hands all up in my face. He best to chill before I hit him with this mate and catch this motherfucking case. Cause once I got it blind, then he done with. Because I'm true to myself, fuck the dumb shit. You ain't no motherfucking gangster G. And when I get about your ass, you gon' realize it just ain't to be. It ain't no studio up in me. And all that bullshit I'm hearing you talk only offends me. And lately I'm under a lot of pressure. It seems to me you can't come clean. So yo, I got the check. I pull my 45 and boom, 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 boom. And right before he die, I boom, 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 boom. I could give a motherfucker about the sentence. I slapped your ass up off the hinges. It's gonna start screaming for vengeance. Cause life has no meaning, no meaning. We were all born to die, so no screaming. Think it's a motherfucking game. I'll come around this motherfucker and cut your ass just like Jesse James.
Yeah, there you go. Alright, yeah. I guess let me get into the CZW show.
CZW, slain the law, once again, prepare for war.
CZW,
I'm for not, that's dead, out of here. I'll spy land, stay to death, tonight. As the arena of race is on. Dead to death, gray blood, grilling out, drinking Jack. I'm sad, going down, breaks the tan.
All right. So, apparently the show, I'm guessing, started a little late. I didn't watch it live. Yeah, I did the Tough Mudder on Saturday. I just didn't feel like, you know, once I got home and settled in and shit, it was probably like, Not very long until the show was gonna start anyway, and I just didn't feel like rushing doing that, and then you know, just sitting there pretty much, you know, tethered to my computer, just continue to watch that for the next couple hours. I kind of want to just be relaxed and just not even have to pay attention to anything for any given length of time. So yeah, that's kind of what I did, but I watched it. First match, and actually before the show started, they had the WSU show, and apparently towards the end they did something that they announced DJ is now co-owner of WSU. Now, you know, I don't know if this is a work situation or if he actually bought in or anything like that. You know, my opinion, and it is only my opinion, is really not to bash women's wrestling or anything like that. If there is any form of buy-in, I don't understand it. I don't feel like women's wrestling is a huge generator of money. Again, I have no financial records. I have no actual knowledge of this, so I'm not, you know, saying anything out of any form of knowledge. I just don't see it is like a fantastic money-making venture. This is now, if DJ is another owner, this is at least three owners now of WSU, from, you know, Sean the Mech to whoever's now, and then DJ, if he's part of it. I don't know. I'm just saying it seems like a lot. And for DJ, who seems to lose focus on a lot of different things that take, that I would think need attention in CZW. Taking on another company to me would just seem like a silly, silly idea. But, you know, they've been doing these consistent doubleheaders, and I guess it is what it is. it's not going to be, you know, running on two different days. It's just part of the event, I guess. And yeah, it'll be what it's going to be. You know, what are you going to do? So, anyway, and so they did that. They started off the show with Shane Strickland defeating the Latin Dragon. Yeah, it was good to see Latin Dragon back in CZW. Hadn't seen that dude there in a while. Commentary said that, you know, he's been torn Mexico and shit like that. I know he went there for, you know, some time. I don't know if, you know, he's been consistently there since he's been gone or what. You know, who knows? Sure, somebody, but not me. This was a really fast match. There was really nothing at all wrong with it. I thought it went really well, but they put Shane Strickland over pretty fast. Showed some kind of signs here, too, like Strickland could very well be going heel. You know, kind of did the, well, you know, no pun intended, swerve on the handshake thing in the beginning. And, you know, he just seemed like maybe had like a little bit of a chip on his shoulder type thing. You know, still slapped hands with the fans and all of that stuff. But, you know, showed signs that he might be turning heel here. So I don't know. I could be off on that, but it's just kind of the way he portrayed things in the ring. But it, like I said, short match, short and sweet, nothing wrong with it. All right, moving on was the juicy product of JT Dunn and David Starr beating Caleb Conley and Shane Hollister. You know, another pretty short match. Not too much wrong with it. These guys are good. I really like this JT Dunn, David Starr combo. I think they're both good singly, but, you know, as a tag team, I think they work pretty well together and do some pretty good stuff. So, that's that. Next up, you had Biff Busick. I guess it was supposed to be Cherry Bomb versus Greg Excellent, and then it ended up being Biff Busick versus Greg Excellent. I wasn't a huge fan of this match. I like Biff's stuff a lot, and I like Greg's stuff a lot. And for whatever reason, I don't know. Like, together, this just didn't work for me. I don't know. You know, maybe, you know, if these guys got a rematch or something like that, it, you know, maybe come off a little better for me. I don't know. I just wasn't a fan of it, you know, the flow of the match. And, yeah. I don't know what else to say. But A.R. Fox, Chris Dickinson, this match was fucking insane. This is one of the Styles Clash matches that I was saying I was hoping for, you know, between Dickinson and, you know, like I said, Dickinson Everett, Dickinson Fox, you know. This is one of those matches I wanted to see. When they announced it, this was like, you know, reason number one I wanted to see this show. And it delivered. It definitely delivered. I'd said a while back, too, on several occasions, that CZW needed another beast. They needed another crusher. They needed someone who was going to come in and wreck shit. Now, a lot of what I was talking about was, you know, CZW style and along those, you know, deathmatch style, you know, Nick Gage-ish guy or Hatred or one of those type of guys. We haven't gotten that. However, I think Chris Dickinson is shaping up to be that guy. At least in the context that he applies to, he's become a guy that he's going to go in there and he's going to try to kill his opponent. And I think if this guy is booked right in CZW, he could play a really, really big role. They seem to be steering him in the direction of being a face. You know, he got like the mutual respect thing out of Gulak and, you know, he's cutting promos kind of more angry, but not really heelish as much, unless I'm misreading that. But, yeah, so I want him to continue to just go in there and be a beast. I mean, he's hit Fox with his fucking burning hammers. It looked like he killed him. He's doing a lot of really cool shit in there. You know, strong shit, looks really good. I'm really enjoying his work in CZW, so he's definitely very welcome in my eyes, and, you know, I'm just looking forward to seeing more and more out of this guy. Another one of those matches I really want to see in the future is, like, him versus Biff Busick. I think those two, you know, could really team up and beat the shit out of each other.
you know, they can get together and do some real fucking cool shit. But yeah, I mean, they continue to just book this dude and do some things with him. I think it'll be good. They really gotta craft some shit that works well for Cage of Death. I don't want them to just do some silly shit and fucking throw him and Gulak back, you know, in the ring together at Cage of Death. Not that they can't have another great match, but I just think it's too soon. It's, you know, they just had a great match. Don't fuck it up by trying to outdo it or, you know, not reaching the potential of what it was or anything like that. They got to continue to create and, you know, innovate and do things that fucking, you know, stand out. But they got to come up with a really good opponent for him at Cage of Death. I mean, he's one of those dudes, too, that I don't know how open he is to that stuff, but, like, the deathmatch stuff, the guy doesn't have to fucking die as far as what he takes. I mean, he could be pretty smart about the things he takes, but to have that type of guy to launch across the ring or launch into a pane of glass or, you know, throw this fucking guy into this or be able to do some of those power moves into dangerous shit, I think he'd be very valuable that way, too. Or again, I mean, he doesn't have to do a fucking single death match, hardcore, anything. But, you know, being CZW and stuff like that, he's going to get over 1,000,000% if you just implement some of that. Even like a TLC type shit. You know, you put him and somebody on like a TLC situation, a Cage of Death, fucking man, you're going to see some fucking serious pops out of that crowd. I just think that they could do big, big things. You know, he seems like he's really, really willing to go in there and you know, do what it takes. So, yeah, just a big fan of this match and, you know, as I said, crazy shit. Then they had some kind of skit where Chuck Taylor came out and then Chuck Taylor came out and then said something and I don't even fucking know. He came out, said he was with the campaign for a better combat zone, and then he started talking bad about them. See, here's the other problem. These fucking mics are not fucking wired well into the sound of the iPay-per-views. There's got to be a way, and I'm no, you know, fucking sound guy. I have no technical knowledge of this, but there's got to be a way where they send that mic feed into something that smooths it out so it comes off really, really well and not just like a loud, like fucking bullhorn shit through people's computers. Because, you know, obviously, you know, the DVDs and the iPay-per-views is a big part of your sales. The people who are there live, they can hear what the fuck you're saying, but, you know, it just, and there's, I mean, there was times at shows that, you know, when the sound system would be bad, you couldn't hear what they're fucking saying standing, sitting there in front row because that mic just blew it all up. So, they seemed to figure it out when they were in Philly. I don't know if they lost their way, you know, so much in the skate zone or what the, you know, the problem is, but the audio is a little rough to hear as far as coming across the iPay-per-view. So they really need to work on it, especially if they're going to continue to give all sorts of mic times to, you know, this guy and that guy. The commentary is pretty legible. You know, you can hear the stuff that the commentary is saying, but if a guy gets on the mic in the ring, you really can't hear much. And another thing about the production on it, the cameraman is fucking horrendous. You cannot fucking get much worse than this fucking cameraman. It's fucking jerk off, like. They had the four-way, which I'm not going to skip ahead to it or anything, but John Silver's kicking, I think, Azrael in the corner. And the shot that this guy has is all you see is John Silver's leg and, like, the center of Azrael, like, you see from, like, chest to waist and then just his leg flying into him over and over. Like, he's kicking him in the corner, and all you see is leg, chest. You don't see anybody's fucking head, body, anything like this. Look, I'm no fucking videographer. I'm no, you know, cameraman. But here's what I think the two shots are. You're either A, going to get the entire ring and all the action that goes in it.
or you're going to get the close-up. And in my opinion, you don't need to get any fucking closer than just seeing the two people, the whole person. You can't cut the guy's head off. I think it's horrible camera work if you're fucking shooting close-up of two guys wrestling and you're cutting one of their heads off. Fucking step back or zoom out or doing whatever you do, but there shouldn't be a headless dude wrestling another guy at some point because you've got some fucking genius close-up. And then you're jumping all over with the camera, left, right, like you don't know what the fuck you're doing. Like if a guy jumps up to the top rope and his head's gone now, you're doing a horrible camera job. Horrible fucking camera job. You know, see, this is the thing, like, they thought they had this brilliant fucking idea when they got rid of Smart Mark, but Smart Mark had that shit on point. You're not outdoing them as far as what the production is. You're out of your mind. It's horrible camera work. I don't know if they still have that little dude Bronson that likes to stand in front of people for fucking 40 minutes, stand in front of like one fucking person for 40 minutes like he used to with me. Or you know, if that's the same dude they got in there, or if it's somebody else. But whoever it is fucking horrible and needs to be fired and hit by a bus because that shit don't make no sense to me. When you're watching some shit and you're just watching like some headless dude punch another dude that you can see like, you know, half of his face. That shit's horrible camera work. So, anyway. In that case, I'd rather just see a hard cam. So you can see actually all the action in the ring and this and this. You want to get close-ups, make sure you get both of the guys' fucking full bodies. Don't fucking... I'm just going to keep saying that shit, so I got to move on. So anyway, that's what they did there. Then Lucky and Ron Mathis wrestled. Just really didn't have... I had no feelings about this match. I wasn't a fan of it. Just Ron Mathis with me is very, very hit and miss. I know fucking DJ thinks he's the next Moxley, blah, 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 but I don't. And there's some matches he's really busted his ass and he's looked really good, but I don't know. I'm not completely sold on this dude. And Lucky's all right. A lot of times, he's got a lot of talent, but a lot of times all they use him for is to plug into like high spot matches, you know, like your aerial assaults or your this or your that, and just have him do a bunch of big spots and stuff. But when it's just him trying to control a match and another guy and they're trying to do something that, you know, is getting over, I don't see that much of it. The last big one-on-one I think that he had, kind of standout situation, was supposed to be him and Scotty at TOD. And that was fucking, they botched so much shit in that match, just almost killed each other. It just, I don't know. It just didn't come together. But I'm not trying to review that show. I'm doing this one. But, yeah, it didn't do anything for me. So, and I kind of feel that way about both of the dudes. Is like if you threw them into a tag match or a six-man or something, they're probably going to both fucking, you know, do a bunch of impressive stuff and pop the crowd individually, but mix within a blend of a whole bunch of different things going on, I think is the best way to use those two. But, you know, fucking fully welcome to go out there and put on individual performances that blow my mind. I have no fucking issue with that. So have at it. Then they had a... So now I think that means Devin Moore is going to fight Drew Blood at Night of Infamy. So that's what that match meant. Then you had Kimberly and Shauna versus Christina Von Erie and Nevaeh. I really didn't care at all. I couldn't watch it. I watched it the best I could, but like I had some just serious ADD shit going on in this match. And I don't really think I have ADD, but like I was just like watching like the fish, and then I'd watch a little bit of that, and then I'd see what was on TV, and I'd look at my iPad, and like it just couldn't keep my attention. And maybe if DJ is co-owner of this fucking WSU, he could just push all his women's matches over there, because he has a hard time of really making it make sense within a CZW card. Like, he's got issues with the Ohio is for killers and storyline. So then he wants to, you know, make people go after them. So then he's got Christina Von Erie with Nevaeh, and then he's got Kimberly with Shauna. Shauna is just like, she came in from wherever and she's worked WSU, but no real ties to like why, like, she's really there other than like DJ said, yeah, this chick. And then I don't know, like, I don't know. It just to me comes off weird, and it's nothing. I don't think the crowd's fucking bananas over this whole DJ versus OI4K feud anyway. And then to just add a bunch of women in it and try to make people care, I can't do it. I can't do it. You know, like I said, I think if it was worked right, or they found a situation where it blended well and it worked, you know, awesome. You know, I take nothing away from any of their talents. I mean, they're all very, very talented women. But for some reason, it just falls completely dead on me as far as the way DJ puts it on the card and the way it's mixed in. I just can't care. Then you had a four-way, Azrael, Ruckus, John Silver, and Amasis. Azrael won. That means Four Loko's going to get a tag team title shot. You know, during this match, too, they had G's go over and do some commentary, which I really enjoy. They do a heavy, heavy amount of that on Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. They've done a lot of that on past CZW shows here and there. They'd have some, you know, Kingston would pop in, Gage would pop in, a lot of different people. I know they do it a lot. They did it a lot on IWA, Mid-South. I'm a big fan of that. I really am, because honestly, the majority of what these shitty commentators have to say, I really don't care. I don't give a fuck about what they have to say. Or, you know, but when a wrestler goes in and has some kind of insight and has some kind of, it makes you care a little bit more too, because they're invested in the storylines. They have some kind of, you know, it feels more like they have more of an investment into the company and this and that, like, oh, well, why I wrestled this guy, this and this and this. And it doesn't necessarily have to be someone that's tied in with the angle that's happening in the ring. But, I don't know. I always just enjoyed that. You know, when they, you know, throw a dude on commentary, you got all these guys in the building anyway. So why not? I mean, that's just my opinion. But yeah, I mean, this was a good match. I think it worked pretty well. A lot of good stuff. Again, crazy, crazy fucking camera work. I mean, just like, I don't know what the fuck is going on there. I can't imagine anyone's watching this back going, hey, good job there with the camera. All right, buddy. You just keep up exactly what you're doing. Like, someone should just get fucking seriously thrown out of the building for that dumb shit. But, yeah, no problems with it, though. You know, the match-wise. Obviously, not the camera. Alex Colon, after that, beat Andrew Everett to retain his title. A lot of good stuff in this match, but for some reason, I just didn't like the flow of it. Like, it just didn't, I don't know. I had a hard time with it. A lot of really good spots, a lot of good action, a lot of good stuff in the match. I highly enjoy both of these dudes, but I kind of want to see a rematch. I just don't think it had the right, and it, you know, it could have been some of the energy of the actual show altogether. Because it was just a strange show. It was just kind of off. A lot of it was kind of off. But yeah, I think they did, well, I don't think they did a lot wrong. But it just, I don't know. Not terrible, not bad. Good match for sure. Maybe I'm nitpicking or whatever. But, you know, what else do you want to say? Main event. Tremont Gacy, House of Horrors match. I have nothing positive to say about this match, really. I thought it was fucking horrendous. Honestly, and I love Matt Tremont, man. I think he's a great dude. He's a guy who just, he busts his ass. He goes out of his way to try to fucking, you know, do everything he can. I honestly think this was fucking disgraceful. I mean, out of both of these dudes, honestly. And Gaethje, I don't think Gaethje's good. I don't think there's a lot good out of him. He did absolutely nothing in this match. Tremont did everything. But just be 100% honest with what went on in this match. There's just shit everywhere. They did this House of Horrors, but it was just like poles coming off of the ring post that went up, and they had weapons, but the weapons are like hanging down where it's like on top of the turnbuckle any fucking way. And then like off of the poles, like probably where like a fourth rope or fifth rope would be if you kept going up, was like another strand of barbed wire that went around the ring just kind of for no reason. Then like a table with barbed wire and pumpkins and shit and some chairs. And then, like, barbed wire boards over here and barbed wire boards over there. And then fucking nail board over here. And just like, weird shit. Like, it wasn't, like, really – they called it House of Horrors because I think they just needed to call this match something when they just threw shit everywhere. Which is whatever. I mean, you know, call it what you want, put a bunch of dangerous shit in there, and, you know, you're going to get fucking over with the fans. And, you know, some random weaponry and shit in there, too. But here's my fucking problem. Match starts, they you know, smack each other a little bit, whatever, fuck. Tremont goes for a dive in the corner, fucking runs into the barbed wire chair, bumps to the fucking outside, clips the edge of the fucking, the barbed wire board, and then crawls under the ring and just fucking carves his fucking head up. Like, he gigs so fucking bad from one end of his head to the other, 30 seconds into the match, and this fucking dude is like fucking crimson mask, fucking bloody shit, for no fucking reason. It looked retarded. Actually, just looked fucking horrendous. There was no reason for that. You have some kind of long battle and this and that, and you're back and forth, and by the end of the match you want to look like that, fine. But to just start the fucking match, take a bump, go under the ring apron, and then just fucking fillet your head to just look like a horror movie and shit 30 seconds into the match, it's just disgraceful, man. There's no fucking reason for that. I don't know what the allure is supposed to be from the fans. And then you wonder why, when you have these fucking matches and these guys are fucking taking bumps on fucking cinder blocks and getting fucking thrown through chairs and fucking all types of crazy shit, and then the fans are going, we want blood, we want blood. Why do you think when you give the guys a fucking match where you take one fucking bump and you're pouring blood from your head to your fucking elbow? Why do you think that is? I just think it was absolutely disgraceful. There was no fucking reason for that, and it was completely blatant and looked horrible on the deathmatch wrestling that a guy like Matt Tremont is so fucking good at. I was fucking completely upset seeing that shit. I was like, that's fucking stupid. That was one. Two was then, and not to mention, too, like, Tremont took every fucking bump in that match. Took the fucking, let me, skipping around a little bit. But the next completely upsetting, fucking blatant, stupid shit was fucking, they got like an egg beater with barbed wire wrapped around it or whatever. So when they hit the thing, the barbed wire spins around, right? So he does a little gimmicky thing to Tremont's already ridiculously bleeding head. Like, there's no, what more could it do? You know what I mean? So he's doing that to his head, then he goes down. He comes back up. You see Tremont grab his fucking blade. Now, he's got fucking Tremont, and Tremont is just gouging at his arm while he's got the egg beaters. He's supposed to be gouging Tremont's arm, but you see Tremont doing more damage to his shit than anybody, and he just put these two huge gouges on his arm for no fucking reason. And it ain't me, like, fucking kayfabe up. It ain't me exposing anything. I'm watching it on my screen. Nobody told me, hey, fucking, I'm going to do this, but don't tell anybody. You're telling me by doing that shit in front of the camera. There's no fucking reason for it. It looked fucking stupid. It looked stupid, and I think it's a complete waste of doing that shit to your body to begin with. And again, on deathmatch wrestling, I think it looks terrible. There's a good way to do it where it looks like these two guys are going through a battle, and they go through some crazy shit, and man, they're tearing each other up. Or there's a way to look like, wow, that guy's cutting himself a lot this match. And that's what it looked like. I was fucking completely just disappointed in Maddle in this match. And like I said, he took all the bumps. He took the fucking barbed wire bumps on the outside. He took a spot through the fucking guardrail bridge on the outside, just murdering himself. For what? Like I said, to me, Gacy's worth fucking nothing. So to go out there and murder yourself and bleed extra and all this and overcompensating for shit that, because nobody would give a fuck with Gacy in the ring. But maybe if you're pouring buckets of blood from your head, now maybe people will care. Maybe if you take bumps all over the fucking outside of the ring and overcompensate, maybe people will care. That shit's not right to just overcompensate and just fucking kill yourself all over the place so maybe people will give a fuck about Gacy. And then the match fucking ends, and people still don't give a fuck about Gacy, and now Tremont's out there trying to put Gacy over, telling people to have some respect for the dude. For what? You fucking killed yourself all over the place, needlessly fucking carved yourself up. Gacy did nothing through the whole fucking match, didn't take a fucking serious bump, none of that bullshit. And I don't want to hear none of that, you go do it. I ain't fucking doing it, all right? I'm talking about two fucking guys in there going there having a death match, and one motherfucker looking like he's taking everything, and the other guy looked like he's not doing a whole lot of shit. So it just came off like complete shit to me. And I'd be surprised if they don't fucking carry this to Cage of Death somehow, but I really, really wish they wouldn't. They supposedly were capping it off with this. He gave Gacy all sorts of respect and this, and yo, shout out to yo, have some respect for the dude, this and that. He survived the battle, all this bullshit. But fuck that, man. Fuck all that dumb shit. I hated that fucking match. And it sucks, man, because all the shit that fucking Tremont had to go through and everything he put himself through in that match was completely for nothing. Absolutely nothing. The match didn't look good. No one's going to reflect on it and say, oh, man, how crazy. They're going to go, fucking, what a psycho Matt is. Look at him just fucking diving through these barbed wire boards all over the place. He's pretty much wrestling himself. He's making himself bleed all over the fucking place. He's taking all these fucking bumps where he's just jumping through shit left and right. And for what? For what? So, you know, just like all the promos that, like I said, it looked all, you know, work where they're going. Yeah, no one gave a shit about me all year since Cage of Death, where I was in Cage of Death. Now I've been in, you know, this thing with Gacy all year. Yeah, that's why no one gives a shit, because no one gives a fuck about Joe Gacy. So no matter how many things you throw yourself through, no matter how deep you cut yourself, no one's gonna give a fuck about a Joe Gacy match. Be the same shit when you feuded with DJ. Nobody really gave a fuck. I mean, yeah, they gave a fuck when it came to Tangled Web and you were fucking busting the back of your head on a fucking 2x4, and when you're in Cage of Death, because everyone gives a fuck about the Cage of Death match itself. But other than that, I mean, dude, I would much rather see the matches back when you were wrestling fucking Masada, when you were wrestling the Necro Butcher in Tournament of Death, when everybody got on your fucking side, because that was a back and forth match that made you look fucking awesome. And on a good note about Matt, though, he's starting to look a lot fucking nuttier lately. His look lately has been fucking gold. When he cuts the promos with the hoodie, I'd say go with that, stick with that all day long. For whatever reason, the hoodie makes you look like that much more of a monster and shit. You know what I mean? It looks really good. I've seen a couple of the promos where you got the fucking hoodie up and shit, and it looked badass and shit. He looks serious as fuck. So, that would be my positive note on all that. But, yeah, I was very upset with that match. So, off that, I heard Extreme Rising is going to go back into the arena in November, December, whatever the fuck. Shane Douglas has done a bunch of shady shit. He's done a bunch of shit that you really can't call one way or another. I would take it with a grain of salt. You know, if it happens, it happens. My personal opinion, I don't give a fuck. I think the aura of the arena is gone. It's dead. They gutted the place. It's not going to look the same. It's not going to feel the same. It's just not going to be the same. type of shit, man. It's just another building now, though, you know? You can rent it. It's, oh, the address looks familiar. Oh, the parking lot looks familiar and this and that. You know, a bunch of people getting wasted in the parking lot. Like, that's think the building has any type of meaning anymore. Like, the arena, unless it's just, like, convenient for you to travel to and that's why you really miss it, then I get it. You know what I mean? Like, I know there are some people that don't attend anymore because they actually lived within a bus route or they lived, like, right up the street. I could completely understand you wanting it to go back to the arena. You know, that's completely understandable because you used to, for years, you can, second Saturday of the month, I'll fucking take this bus and I'll be at the show, or I'll walk up the road or a couple blocks over or whatever the fuck. And that's understandable. So, you know, that I could understand. But, you know, the building itself makes no difference. Really makes no difference. And, you know, that's just, I don't know. From what I hear, John Cena's back already. You know, I haven't watched WWE for these type of reasons. It's just, I don't know. It just doesn't do anything for me. Like I said, I've been kind of bitter about a bunch of shit as far as wrestling goes and just not into this, not into that, and just kind of letting it go as it goes. So that's that. I believe Saturday. Is it Saturday or is it a week from? Let me see. The 19th. Yeah, Saturday is the next Pro Wrestling Guerrilla show on the card. It's called Matt Rushmore. They have Adam Cole defending his world title against Kyle O'Reilly, who just won BOLA. They got the Young Bucks against Joey Ryan and Candice LeRae. They got Johnny Gargano versus Roderick Strong. They got A.R. Fox and Rich Swann versus Chuck Taylor and Trent or Trent Barreto, whatever you want to call him. ACH versus Kevin Steen. B-Boy and Willie Mack versus Avalon and Rojas. And then they got a four-way match of Brian Cage, Tommaso Ciampa, Tony Nese, and Drake Younger. I think that four-way right there is going to be the match of the show. It's going to be interesting to see Cage and Ciampa get back in there again after that, you know, botched powerbomb on the floor, and it completely changed the pace of the match. You know, Ciampa to be able to go back in there with the psycho gimmick and really, you know, try to make it work without almost killing the guy. You know, it'd be very interesting to see. And then Nese and Drake in there all mixing it up. I think it's going to be a really good match. So, you know, there's that. Trying to see if I got anything else. I think I'm just about done. You know, solid fucking 2 hours. Decent. Why not? Let me see. Well, you could definitely go out after this. Check out the Sports Den. You know, check out their Facebook page or whatever and, you know, get that. And, you know, hop over there. You can check out Wrestling Soup. I think they're going to start doing Thursday shows again, but earlier, and then possibly the Sunday shows too. I don't really know. I think they're, you know, they're jumping all over the place, but they're definitely trying to go back, do some Thursday shit. So I think tomorrow night, I want to say 7 o'clock Eastern, they're going to have their thing. So you can check them out, WrestlingSoup.com. Stern Nation will be back again tomorrow night as well. Another week of Howard Stern recaps and opinions and everything like that. I think that's all I got. Yolanda's over there with the Shiznet. She does that tomorrow night. Check her out. That's it. I'm going to start within the next couple weeks. I think I should be lining up a few guests. I have absolutely no actual plans worked already for that, but, you know, I like to do some solo shows, do some just shows I run my mouth, and then, you know, every once in a while I'll do a few guests, then go back to doing some normal, you know, so it's been a little bit, and I think I want to, you know, get a guest or two on again, so let me see what I could conjure up, you know, who I could think of, and then, yeah, I'll keep everybody updated when I actually plan something. Just kind of brainstorming out loud what I would like to do. Jesus Christ, these fucking Misawa Kobashi matches and the Misawa Kawada matches are just some of the fucking craziest matches you'll ever see. If anybody out there hasn't seen these series of matches, go out and get them. Whether you got to, you know, catch Mayfield Mayhem at one of these shows, that's where I ended up, you know, getting a lot of my shit over there. Or, you know, whatever, you get them on the internet, you get them wherever. And, just the hardest hitting, craziest shit you're ever going to see. And, I'm trying to get this one collection. It's Masawa Kawada, like the whole fucking thing from, like, you know, tag team time going through. It's, I think, 14 discs or some shit like this. I'm trying to get that. It's fucking insane. So I'm the whole collection, like every match they've ever had, tag teams, and then, you know, going down to their singles feud and going through all the years. And, oh, man, really trying to get that. So if anyone could help me, hit me up. But I'm trying my ways over here and seeing what happens. But check that out, if anything. Like I said, yeah, I'll be back on Wednesday. And check me out then. Don't know if I'm going to be having a guest on Wednesday or maybe, you know, the week after or something like that. But, you know, we're going to keep it rolling, keep doing what it is. Hit you with some Onyx, take you out, then hit you with the outro. All right, peace.
Yeah.
Why?
What's this shit look like?
What's the problem?
Southside,
nah,
Queen,
I mean,
shit.
Shit, some ass, word up.
Left Frack City,
nah,
Iraq,
right
Queen,
now,
shit.
This is ours right
South
here.
Bronx, shit.
Real, you know
huh?
what I mean? You see black cops, that's us, word up.
Shit, man.
Anything
my
else,
that's
up
yeah.
the streets, so we shutting this down right
shut
here. Word up. Yo,
what?
Big pun, Oviedo, what's
the
yo, this is it now. You get shut down. Fish and ass got the whole game locked down. Noriega, Big Pun, holding it down. This is it now. You get shut down.
Hey, yo, I smoke weed from housing by Philly's the top one. Niggas better stop, done. I catch a hot one. I'm like the top gun. Mohawk shit. Rock my hat back. As long as you fuck with Onyx, then you safe in Iraq. I like the dub up. All of my niggas, we tear the club up. From Iraq to Baltimore. We do a song, keep the shit fucking ghetto like a hood seesaw. So what? Fuck the dick, what's the recall for? Yo, every other week you got a brand new law. Yo, them crackers not knowing what to do with their time. That's why they really wanna focus on Iraq crime. So what? Fuck you nigga, yo, we take the shine.
Shut them down, second wave, desert BX style. We rep wow, opposed be your mom's dead child. Fucked up like blowing fat trout. It's set now, get blown down, you spent loud. Exile, my cartel drop shells. Burn 100 L's, you frail. We raise hell, you niggas get blazed well. You get closed now, hose down. Rebel semi-matic cat with a henny habit. I murk any static like a madman. Going post to touch mic, roast you, fuck it.
Word up, I'm not a killer, I just bust a lot. Running the spot with the rustic lock. Then I bust a shot, it's not a game, don't we end it for life. Shit is hot, son, send them to Christ. Surrender your ice, bring a new life. The dangerous ill, train to kill. Aim the stainless steel, your brain is filled. Game is real, you playing with death. Got grimy niggas that'll label you rest and lay you to rest. Stop suicide, wake the dead. Hate the spread, spray 3/8 to let it race your head. Jailbound, turn early, hellbound. 22 shots, shell round, rock your head in the ground. This is it now, you get shut down. Fishing ass got the whole game locked down. Noriega, Big Pun, holding it down. This is it now, you get shut down.
I'm the livest nigga alive. Watch me show you, I'll blow your head off your shoulders. Your old mother won't know you, my squad is supernatural. They made me blast you with a Ruger capsule. My crew will catch you and trap you inside a Cooper's castle. I turn a Susa statue like Medusa's looking at you. Produce some future raps and subtract you like use a bathroom. I'm always moving past you even when I use the bathroom. Wipe on my ass and with pages straight out the book of Matthew. I'm looking at you with my third optical vision. I hop out of prison and find me a hot little tropical woman. Now I'm locked in position, ready to rock with conviction. Chewbacca's descendant, hitting you with cosmical weapons. You might as well listen, cause you out of suggestions. Out of submission, if you can't send the heat, get out of the kitchen, piece of Onyx. I miss them for their knowledge and wisdom. Pay homage and listen to hip-hop, newest and most violent
yeah,
addition.
Yeah, I'm sticky fingers, I'm still alive. That mean the greatest rapper of all time ain't never die. I'm underground, too hard for the radio. MTV won't even play my video. They scared to death, motherfuckers trying to ban me. I'm the one that told Old Dirty to shut down the Grammy. You think that they could get with me sick? I burn all of y'all. I don't care, Puffy, do your remix. I'm crazy, running up a Def Jam with a handgun.
Fuck a royalty, I'm holding rust through for ransom. I make you sleep where the worms do. I couldn't care less if you ain't shit, not a turn pro. Niggas like us gon' bring the game back. There's so many whack rappers out here, I don't know where to aim at. I swear to God, ain't nobody touching me. The time you see me, it's gon' be the last thing you ever see.
This is it now, you get shut down. Fish and ass got the whole game locked down. Noriega, big pun, holding it down. This is it now, you get shut down. This is it now, you get shut down. Fish and ass got the whole game locked down. Noriega, big pun, holding it down. This is it now, you get shut down.
Yakuza Kick Radio. Kill 'em all. Back on top. Think about it. Fuck Hulk Hogan.
What the fuck?
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio. And we're taking over.
We're taking over. We're taking over. We're taking over.